app, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. These Chicago area auto workers aren't on strike. They could be in a matter of hours if the United Auto Workers Union expands its walkout beyond the three factories it struck a week ago. The UAW has set a noon Eastern time deadline if there's no meaningful progress in talks. Scott Alexander is a striking worker at Ford's Michigan plant.
We're out, we're staying out, and we know he's going to keep us out till we get a contract. Sean Fain, shut them all down!
Sean Fain is the union president. He's expected to announce which factories would be their next targets for a walkout right about now. New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez and his wife face federal bribery charges. Federal prosecutors have just said that they accepted thousands of dollars from businessmen in exchange for using the senator's political power and influence to benefit them and the Egyptian government. Ukraine says its missiles have hit one of Russia's military headquarters. Here's the BBC's James Waterhouse.
Unverified footage appears to show smoke billowing from a building at the headquarters of Russia's Black Sea Fleet. It appears Ukraine is continuing to target the occupied Crimean Peninsula with missile and drone strikes. Last week, a Russian military base was hit and a submarine and warship destroyed.
The war in Ukraine is one reason why many Republicans refuse to approve a budget that would avert a government shutdown. Here's CBS's Nicole Killian.
So far, House Republicans have refused to include any new Ukraine aid in a potential spending package. But Senate GOP leaders want it included, although support is softening.
We're going to have to listen to our constituents because broad support that they had a year ago is weakening.
President Biden has requested $24 billion in supplemental assistance from Congress for the war-torn country.
A tropical system off the Carolinas is expected to become Tropical Storm Ophelia soon, and it'll soak North Carolina and other states as it moves north. Here's the Weather Channel's Jim Cantore.
Horrible wind-driven rain heading all the way up to the Chesapeake Bay and into the northeastern part of the country. Things improve for some on Sunday. That combination of wind and rain means storm surge flooding for a lot of areas.
It's expected to make landfall tomorrow. Amazon Prime Video is free when you subscribe to the company's Prime membership. But free will now come with a price. Here's CBS's Cammy McCormick.
Amazon Prime Video will begin showing ads during movies and shows next year, joining other streaming companies doing the same. The cost of opting out? $2.99 a month to keep your service ad-free.
In early trading on Wall Street, the Dow is up 7 points. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The herbal supplement kratom may become legal in Wisconsin if a newly proposed bill makes its way into law. Republican Assemblyman John Macko, one of the authors of the bill, hopes legalizing kratom will give residents alternatives to opioids for chronic issues, claiming it replicates opioids without the addictive effects. The FDA and DEA have previously issued warnings about using kratom, and criticism from law enforcement stopped Republican lawmakers from legalizing it last year. Wisconsin Republican lawmakers introduced surprise legislation yesterday that could fund the state's child care providers. According to a Wisconsin Examiner report, a draft of the bill includes provisions for a paid family leave program, additional higher education funding, and a state workforce development program. The Senate Committee on Organization voted unanimously to introduce the bill and referred it to the Senate Committee on Economic Development and Technical Colleges. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3.
Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5.
The Tap. Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. But it's going nowhere.
Here's your host, Kristen Bride.
Hello, hello, hello. It is here. It is my last day for a while being in the big chair,
yep,
welcoming you at 10 a.m. But we're here. It's a little surreal.
I'm sure it is. There's got to be a lot of different things running through your head.
It's going to be a little weird waking up on Monday and be like, oh, I don't have to prep for a show.
Right. I might call you anyway.
Yeah. I may call in and be like, hey, what's up? What are you guys doing?
What are you doing?
What are you
today?
Talking about?
I don't like that. By the way, I want to throw this in there. John from Menominee Falls, our friend, already texted.
Okay.
844-967-2789. Just wanted to offer my prayers and best wishes to Kristen and her husband for a quick and complication-free delivery. Enjoy your time with your little one. We look forward to having you back when you are ready.
Oh, thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Well, and that is a good preview to our second hour today at 11. My husband, Michael Sampson, will be here.
Papa Sampson.
Papa Sampson. It's funny because when I think Papa Sampson, I think of his father, Bruce Sampson. But yeah, certainly he will be Papa soon. It was funny. We watched the new Adam Sandler movie that stars his two daughters.
Oh.
Well, really stars his younger daughter, who was excellent. And so it's called You're So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah. And it's a coming of age. There's certainly adult humor in it, but it's definitely for teenagers. And it's exactly what it's about. You think it's about. It's about teenage girls who are Jewish and the emphasis they put on their bat mitzvah, but also just the drama of being a 13-year-old girl.
Oh, man.
And boyfriends and crushes and friends who hurt your feelings. And it's funny because especially when Mike is hungover, people are like, you kind of look like Adam Sandler. And so watching Adam Sandler play a dad to his actual child in this movie about preteen girls. And I just kept looking at Mike. I was like, are you ready for this for 13 years from now to deal with this kind of like emotional drama?
Seriously. Seriously, it's going to be a journey.
It will be a journey. At least we got a little while before we have a lot of sweet years of them loving us before they stop ruining my life.
I hate you.
I hate you forever.
Why did you have me? Yeah.
But yes, at 11 o'clock, Michael Sampson's going to join us. We're going to play a quick game between the four of us. Because, of course, Greg Bach is on the board right now.
Hello.
Hello. So we're going to play a quick, you know, like a fun baby shower type game.
Excellent.
And
you can play along at home.
And you can play along at home. And then we're going to take calls from all of you and see what, if you love giving unsolicited advice, and some people really do love doing that.
For sure.
We are soliciting it today. We want your advice. We would love to hear from you. I already got one last night of the advantages of teaching your baby sign language.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And I didn't have time to do a deep dive, but I went and it's literally babysignlanguage.com. And I was like, oh, and it's so they can communicate before they can actually talk. So you can just be like more or done or just certain words.
Cool.
So they, instead of just having an emotional breakdown, they can tell you according to the website, you can start at 6 months.
That's pretty good.
So I'll report back.
I will be very curious about that.
We'll report back on baby sign language and how effective it is.
Well, I'm going to go to that website. I'm curious.
Yeah, check it out. And so we're going to have a lot of fun in the second hour today. And then, of course, because our crossover, our civic media host crossover today is with Jane.
Yes.
And so you already picked out your best, worst, and weirdest stories of the week.
I did.
So we'll get to that at 10:30, and then we'll do head-to-head with you two on a headline quiz.
I'm not worried.
I don't think you should be.
I'm terrified.
If you guys make this, if you guys choose to keep that segment and make it hyper-competitive by the time I get back, I would be very impressed. Just win serious prizes in tournament style, process of elimination.
No, we'll need again.
I lost my car.
It'll need its own theme song, and we'll see how far we develop this while you're gone.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I thought I'd get one more rant in.
You haven't really had a good rant in a while.
I haven't had a good rant in a while, and this is not a rant about Wisconsin politics. This is not a rant about really federal politics, congressional politics either. This is a rant about how much I just feel like America sells out its citizens sometimes. And it's a rant about my frustration with the idea of how many people subscribe to this idea of personal responsibility. And yet the odds are so stacked against us in this country to treat your body well. So I'm surprised I haven't heard this more, but this is I read this in Washington Post. But many junk foods, many of today's unhealthy foods that we think about, and we were joking about this yesterday, is the foods that you want to eat when you're depressed,
right?
Potentially going to make you more depressed.
Yes.
But many of today's unhealthy foods were brought to you by Big Tobacco.
Big Tobacco.
Big Tobacco.
How does that work?
Well, I'll tell you.
Okay.
A new study suggests that tobacco companies, who were very skilled, as we all know, at marketing cigarettes,
they're fine,
used similar strategies to hook people on processed food. So for decades, tobacco companies hooked people on cigarettes by making their products more addictive, similar to opioids and pharmaceutical companies,
right,
and Sackler and Purdue. But now, a new study suggests that tobacco companies may have used a similar strategy to hook people on processed foods. Because I didn't know this, but in the 1980s, Philip Morris and R.J. Reynolds acquired the major food companies Kraft, General Foods, and Nabisco.
Wow.
Allowing tobacco firms to dominate America's food supply and reap billions in sales from popular brands such as Oreo cookies, Kraft macaroni and cheese, Lunchables, Teddy Grahams.
All the stuff that's crap for you.
And by the 2000s, they had basically spun off all the food companies and had exited the food industry. But as we know, I mean, I don't know what your guys' pantries looked like. I mean, we're a little bit age difference, but the 80s and 90s, my brother and I talk about this all the time. The stuff, the crap in our house. Sorry, Mom. But we had a fridge that was just soda. We had a cabinet that was just candy. We had snacks all the time. And luckily, we have pretty good genes and we played a lot of sports.
Right.
But there was processed food
everywhere.
Kool-Aid. Think about Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah. We lived on Kool-Aid.
I'm thinking about Kool-Aid right now.
And so the new research, it's published by the journal Addiction, and that's the name. The name of the journal is Addiction, and it focuses on the rise of hyper-palatable foods, which contain potent combinations of fat, sodium, sugar, and other additives that drive people to crave and overeat them.
Yes. You want more.
And it's the same thing. I know when Super Size Me came out and the research they had done on that, on like what is in McDonald's fries, and it's sugar. And sugar is addictive. And the fact of like what the sugar lobby, because, and cornstarch specifically, because we make so much corn in this country.
Right. And corn syrup is in everything.
And so the addiction found that in the decades when the tobacco giants owned the world's leading food companies, the foods that they sold were far more likely to be hyper-palatable than similar foods not owned by the tobacco companies.
Wow.
And so in the past 30 years, hyper-palatable foods have spread rapidly into the food supply, coinciding with a surge in obesity and diet-related diseases. And so we talk about how America, like people are, like obesity is a huge problem.
It is a huge problem.
But is it a huge problem because people can't control themselves or because of what affordable food actually looks like and has been allowed to look like in this country?
And what's in the affordable food? Yeah.
And I just saw this and it's like, and I don't know if it didn't make more waves because, oh yeah, of course.
I think that's probably part of it. Is it a surprise that Big Tobacco would have no problem with getting Americans hooked on other things that are bad for them? I'm shocked.
And know how bad it is for them and just be like...
And yeah, whatever. Hey, that's what they want. We're just giving the people what they want.
Well, and as someone who just traveled abroad...
Yep.
How different did you feel when you were eating in England or Portugal? Like, how different did your actual body feel?
Well, and I don't know if it's partly the climate... because England was cold and rainy, and when we're there, it's always cold and rainy. But certainly in Portugal, the tomatoes taste different. Mm-hmm. The bread tastes better. And we were talking to a couple expats from England, and they're both in their late 70s. And he's been in Portugal for about a decade. And he said, I'm healthier now than I've probably been in 40 years. Yeah. Because the food here is so much better for you.
Well, and that's what I talk to people who will go to Italy and just binge on pasta and pizza and wine and will lose weight.
Yeah.
Than when they're living in America.
Because again, it's fresh produce. It's not, there's no snackables. There's very little of that stuff, but still there's a lot of ham. They eat a lot of pork. There's a lot, you know, but it's just different.
And it's just, and I'll talk a little bit more about how I find this so frustrating as far as when it comes back to this idea of personal responsibility, when it comes to anything that is addictive that gets pushed on us, whether it was opioids, alcohol, processed food, just the consumer mentality in general in this country, and that you as an individual are supposed to be strong enough to withstand billion-dollar industries and million-dollar ad campaigns pressuring you and trying to convince you to consume all of these things.
But you have no willpower.
But it's your fault. You're
well,
fat.
That's
and
right.
It's your fault. You're poor.
Yep.
And it's your fault that you're addicted to any variety of things.
You have no willpower. You're not strong enough.
You have to get stronger.
You got to be tougher.
All right. I told you it was going to be a rant. And it's not even a rant directed at anyone except the people who allow this to happen, which is basically all of politics, because we could change this and yet we don't. So we'll talk a little bit about the FDA
Get it off your belly.
And then we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes.
But if you have thoughts on this, does this surprise you? Does this surprise you that Big Tobacco's behind some of the most addictive bad food in our culture? 844-967-2789. Give us a text. Give us a call. And we'll be back right after this. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Little fog possible this morning, otherwise partly cloudy with a sprinkle or two possible at some point early to mid-afternoon. Our high today 78, the wind southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, scattered thunderstorms late tonight, our low 61. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, becoming windy, 78 on Sunday. Scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach is on the board. And before I finish my final rant, before I bid you all adieu for a couple months and have this baby, you said that we had a nice text.
We do, from the 414. Kristen, longtime texter, zero-time caller. Been listening since day one every day.
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks, all three of you, for making Wisconsin a better place. And Kristen Bride, do a great baby. Thank you, Tim. Tim also says, famous Milwaukee urban farmer Will Allen's best stump speech line, if my grandmother went into a modern supermarket, she wouldn't recognize a lot of products as food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Greg, do you have feelings on this new research or new study or new find, whatever you want to call it?
I have a lot of opinions on it. And I think one of the things that's important to discuss, because you both brought it up towards the end of the segment, which is feeling like failure, setting up for failure, and one of the things we have to take into account of it is the boom, cheap access to workout culture. Now, not saying anything wrong with working out, staying healthy, but I think people nowadays, what we do is we go to a gym, we pay $10 a month, we may go, we may not go, we may lose some weight, we'll gain weight, and there's a whole other thing that comes with that, and then comes with that going back to the foods that we didn't want to eat in the first place. Those high sodium, high sugar foods, like it's a vicious cycle that includes everything. And I could talk about it for days.
Well, and it's also a lie that it's important to work. I mean, it's important to work out for a variety of reasons, but the actual, like, so much more matters what your diet is than how much you're working out. And I forgot which food book or food documentary talked about this, but at the beginning of Obama's administration, Michelle Obama's thing was food and sugar. And by the end, it was movement.
Yep.
And it was like, get off your butt, go move.
Get
because
moved.
That's what matters. And it doesn't.
No.
I mean, it does. And you should. Like, there is walking, everything, but killing yourself to work out while still being addicted to bad food. Like, you can be trim, you can be healthy by just walking, and as long as you're eating well. And it is so much. We as a country are basically okay poisoning our citizens. And truly, I mean, we've joked about this before and my love for Skittles, but this is ongoing in California right now, that there is an ingredient in Skittles that they are trying to ban in California because it is literally poison. And somehow it's allowed to be in food products. And I was talking to a girlfriend who has always worked in like dental equipment. And when she was selling to Asia, and she would try to give like a value prop of like, oh, it's FDA approved. And the buyers would be like, we don't care what the FDA says. What is Europe doing?
Because the FDA is not considered credible.
Yes.
That's disturbing.
Yeah. And so it is just, I go back and exactly what you were saying, Greg. It's just, it's so frustrating to me. And I think this is a theme from this week, like I said, because I was watching that movie about the opioids. And it's like they purposefully, as the heat started to come on Purdue, said, blame the drug abuser. Don't blame us.
Exactly.
Blame the junkies.
Yep.
Don't blame us.
Yep.
Blame the people who can't control themselves. And on the alcohol, you can't go anywhere without being offered a drink, especially in this state.
Absolutely.
But the advertisements for alcohol are everywhere. The expectation that, well, what's wrong with you? If you don't have a drink, you're either a recovering alcoholic or something's wrong with you. Obesity, poverty, like it's so many things that are set up for you to fail. And yet it's your fault when you fail, even despite all the traps that have been laid for you.
You weaklings. Maggie Dawn, our friend, is on the phone. If you want to join us, you can always call 844-967-2789. Hey, my friend, our friend, how are you, Maggie?
And best of luck. Congrats. I hope it all goes very smoothly and that you have a great break with your new baby.
Oh, thank you, Maggie.
I just wanted to call up. This is such a great discussion. And share a couple of small facts that can help people actually understand what they're eating a little bit better.
Great.
We all that grew up in the 70s and 80s remember when the nutritional labels finally came on board and it was like, oh, great, this will be helpful. And then you look at them and you're like, I have no idea what any of this means.
Yep.
So a couple of really easy things to do. If you take the grams of fat and you multiply it by 9, you will have the calories in that food product that are coming from fat. And so if you then take that number over the total number of calories in a serving, you'll know what percentage of fat one serving of that food product is. And generally speaking, you want to have it under 20%. So grams of fat times 9 gives you calories made of fat. That number of calories over total number of calories tells you the percentage for that food that's made of fat. Now, of course, they could have simply reported that, but the FDA got lobbied, so they don't. So that's little thing one. Little thing two is this.
You got a minute left just as a time check.
Very quickly. You take the grams of sugar times 4, that'll tell you how many teaspoons of sugar there are. And a teaspoon is one little packet. You can envision that in your head. Boy, does that help.
Yeah, that's great.
Y'all have a good show today.
Thank you, Maggie. I'll come visit you in the Brady Street. I'll come bring her by on the Brady Street recording studio someday.
And we're going to get you on with me and Carol one of these Fridays, Maggie. So,
all right. We have another caller. Hold on to the line. If you have thoughts on this, we will still take them. 844-967-2789. Also, in the next segment, we will go over the best, worst, and weirdest stories, according to Jane, from this week. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Out perfectly.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News special report, the United Auto Workers Union has just announced that its week-old strike is getting longer and larger. Union President Sean Fain has just announced the next plants to face walkouts.
At noon Eastern time, all of the parts distribution facilities at General Motors and Stellantis are being called to stand up and strike. We will be striking 38 locations across 20 states, across all nine regions of the UAW.
The union had set a deadline of noon Eastern time for meaningful progress in talks, which Fain says has not happened. Demands include a 40% pay raise over the next 4 years. The automakers have countered with 20. This Toledo worker says it's time for the big three to pay up.
I want the levels to be balanced. I want everyone to make a good living and a fair living.
The strike has now entered week number two. CBS News special report. I'm Peter King.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Republican lawmakers are changing strategies in their attempt to remove Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf from her role. After the state Senate voted to oust Wolf last week, State Attorney General Josh Call filed a lawsuit challenging the legitimacy of the vote. In response, Republican lawmakers have proposed impeaching Wolf from the position. The impeachment effort comes alongside another impeachment effort aimed at newly elected Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Following the announcement of potential impeachment proceedings against her, Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf released a statement reiterating that every major decision relating to the 2020 election was made by the bipartisan committee together and have been investigated and audited numerous times. Wolf stated, quote, "It's irresponsible for this group of politicians to willfully distort the truth when they've been provided the facts for years." For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and Greg Bach is on the board. And today is my last show for a while.
Yes.
I am going to have a baby on Wednesday, unless it's sooner. But we made it.
We made it.
She did not come too early.
Thank you.
Before our handoff.
Thank you, LJ. I appreciate that.
As of Monday, Jane will be your host.
In the big chair.
Greg will be here. We have a variety of guest hosts who are coming in. Todd Alba, Dominic Salvia, Carol Kane. And you'll have some other regulars. Kristen Lierley.
Dan Schaefer.
Dan Schaefer, Paul Newman. Want to get
Joe Zopecki back.
Yeah, so the show will largely be a lot of the same.
Yeah, it should be.
Just not necessarily with, there'll be a different kinds of rants than my rants.
Probably. I think that's a fair assumption.
You think they'll be meaner?
Yes.
I was going to say more pointed, but okay, Jane.
Sure, I'll go with that.
Well, speaking of my final rant, I know Tom from West Dallas has been waiting on the line to talk about how big tobacco is responsible for some of our most addictive foods. Tom, what do you have to say?
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Really, good morning. Three quick things. One, we're talking about sugar and all that. Google how much sugar is in ketchup and then hit images. And you will be amazed how much sugar they show. It's like a quarter of it is sugar. The other thing, Mountain Dew. There are things in Mountain Dew that are that they don't make Mountain Dew in Europe because those things are illegal there. They will not, they can't produce it there with what we drink here. Also, about 12-ish years ago, Jamie Oliver, the chef, was doing a thing on school lunches and going to schools and looking at what these kids are eating and all the processed stuff. And they had this one woman who was in charge, and she was dead set against changing the thing because they could just order chicken nuggets through one of the suppliers, and well, there the chicken nuggets are for the kids. And Jamie pointed out you have all this cooking equipment here. You've got ovens, you've got stovetops, all this stuff. We could make things better, more healthier for these kids than this processed food for about the same price. And this woman really fought him tooth and nail. And he finally convinced her. She did it for a little while. Kids were getting real nutritious meals. The only problem is the kids wouldn't eat it because it didn't look like the processed food that they were getting for so long.
That's so interesting.
And it's a shame.
And it
it's
is really a shame. Thanks so much for the call, Tom. And it's because, you know, and that thing, what the kids will involve, having a six-year-old niece who, you know, it's a lot of macaroni and cheese and chicken tenders
nuggets.
And, you know, not a lot of, and it's like a fed kid is the best kid and I get it. And parents, and this is not, it's not a condemnation on parents who it's just like, I'm just trying to get my kid to eat something.
Yep.
And this is what's available and this is what they'll eat. And it's such a bigger, to me, it is such a bigger condemnation about what government is supposed to do, which is protect us. And they sold out. They've sold out to lobbyists. They've sold out to big food companies and sugar companies and sugar lobbyists and corn lobbyists and fast food and all the things that it's just like, well, we can spin this, right?
See, you're looking at this wrong, Kristen. They are protecting people because corporations are people.
Ah, yes.
And they're protecting those people.
Those people.
Those people. Not us people.
Not us people.
Those people.
Exactly.
Because corporations are people.
We have a very interesting text from Robert from Richland Center saying, as you stated, Kristen, Michelle Obama promoted healthy eating and got a huge backlash from people with the message of how dare you tell us what to eat? Perhaps this is why she pivoted to exercise. Because, yeah, when it comes to that subject of eating, people will, it's like, that's my freedom. You don't get to step on my freedom.
It was that. But it was also lobbying.
Yeah, I mean,
I think there was certainly political pushback, but what actually changed is a lot more about the lobbyists that came in. It was like, we need you to not be pushing healthier food.
They really did demonize Michelle Obama.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, they're going to take away our Oreos.
Just like those gas stoves.
Right.
And cheeseburgers.
Yes. Oh, my God.
But there is something, too, that it's like, oh, we found that gas stoves could be dangerous. So you can take my gas stove over my dead body.
Yeah.
Right.
From my cold, burnt, dead hands.
Well, go ahead.
We have a text from Scott in Chicago as we're going to transition here. Many prayers for a healthy baby and easy delivery. I have not missed a single hour of the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Since Kristen told me via TikTok I could listen on the Civic Media app back in April. So thankful for the show and wishing you well on your leave. Congratulations. Oh, that's so nice.
Thank you, Scott. That means a lot.
That's really sweet.
And so as a reminder, as we're getting texts coming in, very much appreciated, but also at 11 o'clock, so at the top of the next hour, Michael Sampson, I just saw him on Fine Friends. He is en route. He is not going to be late. He did not oversleep.
You're tracking him.
We have each other on Fine Friends, which is a whole other topic for some other day. But he will be here shortly, and we will play games. We'll get his thoughts on what he's most nervous about, most excited about. But also, we would love to hear from you on parenting advice and things that you think we should know that maybe we haven't heard yet. So in the next hour, please feel free to text or call in 844-967-2789. And for now, Jane.
Yes.
I would love to hear what you thought was the best story of the week.
Well, my personal favorite is Lauren Bobo Boebert, the Republican representative from Colorado, mom of four, grandma of one, since her son impregnated a 14-year-old girl, a Christian who lives by Christian values, family of morality, standing up for the family and what's right, was kicked out of Beetlejuice the musical after vaping in front of a pregnant woman who requested that she not do that. Then later called her a pathetic human being.
Bobo called her.
Yes, the pregnant woman a pathetic human being.
Like a good Christian.
Well, exactly.
State Farm is there.
And because she lives her Christian values every day. That's what she said. And then it turns out that it wasn't just the vaping and the over-excessive hand waving and the taking videos and photos, which you cannot do during a live performance. No, it later came out that Bobo and her date got a little frisky. It's on video. He has his hand down the front of her dress. And she has her hand higher up than his knees. You're not going to find that on several news outlets. Like Fox.
They didn't cover the story.
Or OAN. Or any of the other things. And as more details came out, it just got better and better for me.
For you.
Because then it was our first date. Because it turns out the guy she was with owns a bar in Colorado that hosts drag shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, well, I didn't know that. Otherwise, I never would have gone out with him. But honey, he had his hand down your dress on a first date.
Publicly.
Publicly, like a good Christian couple does.
Jane said to me, she's like, did you see the video? I'm like, yeah, of course I saw the video.
But you know what's even better for this poor guy? I mean, I don't really feel bad for him because it's like, you know who you were going out with.
Oh, yeah.
His bar has just been lambasted with one-star reviews across like Google reviews and Yelp and everything of, oh, well, not going back to this bar. And so he's not getting a second date and he's lost a lot of customers.
That is a shame.
Oh, man. It's just, I wish I had the prices right. Loser horn for that one.
Oh.
Gosh, you feel for these people.
So that's your best story.
That is my best story. And especially, again, because it's not being talked about at all among members of the Republican Party.
This is actually a terrible story, but is the fact that Cassidy Hutchinson came out this week saying, oh yeah, Rudy Giuliani definitely groped me. I'm guessing that's also not being reported on.
I think that's a pretty fair assumption. Yeah. But again, they're the party of family values. They get to define, apparently, what that means.
And who has to display it.
And who adheres to
and
those.
When.
So...
All right. Well, then, what is your worst story, Jane Mattner?
My worst story, and this was something that Dan Schaefer had posted on Twitter. So now the Brewers have come back to the public saying, we need money. We need your money to take care of our toy. And Dan Schaefer pointed out, from a PR perspective, this may not be the best timing because it turns out that one of the brewer's co-owners has an estate in Los Angeles that's for sale for $75 million. It's 20,000 square feet.
The house is.
The house.
The house is 20,000 square feet.
Think about that. Our house is 1,640 square feet.
I think ours is like 2,500.
Yeah.
Mine is considerably smaller than that house.
Than 20,000 square feet?
Yeah, yes.
I find that shocking, Greg yes. Buck. Yeah. The seller's financier, Robert Beyer, who is a member of the Brewer's Advisory Board, and his wife, Catherine Beyer. They bought the main site in 2000 when they had four young children. It took them 3 years to construct it. And now the kids are grown and they don't use the olive orchard or the gym or the 1,200 bottle wine cellar or the game room or the gift wrapping room and a special room to store china and silverware and glassware. The treehouse, they don't use the treehouse anymore. The outdoor infinity pool, the olive allee, formal rose gardens, courtyards, water features, a tennis court, and a separate basketball court. So it's time to sell.
It's time to sell.
Yeah, because, well, obviously. And it's nice, too, because they don't really need it because they have been splitting their time, he and his wife, between California, Sun Valley, Idaho, and the south of France.
But not Milwaukee.
No.
No. Got it.
But they need your money.
They're going to put $100 million into the stadium.
Well, the whole $100 million. Think about that.
Basically the profit of this sale.
Yes. So that is my worst.
All right. Then you got a couple minutes to tell us your weirdest story of the week, Jane okay. Mattner.
This hit me as I was driving into work this morning because this is a group that I did not realize existed. And I was coming in and I was flipping across some dials and landed on a station that is not a civic media station.
Okay.
And I knew that instantaneously because the first thing I heard in this ad was, call Robin Voss and say thank you. And I was like, what?
What am I listening to?
What are we talking about? There is a Wisconsin Realtor Advocacy Fund.
Fund?
Fund.
Not group.
No, fund.
Okay.
The Wisconsin Realtor Advocacy Fund. And I jumped over to their website, and all it talks about, here's what it says. The legislature put your interest first and passed a state budget with $650 million in property tax savings. That means the typical homeowner in Wisconsin will see a $300 reduction in their property taxes. Currently, the Wisconsin Realtors Advocacy Fund educating state residents on the legislative record and actions of the following senators and representatives. We want people to thank these public officials for passing that savings. You can call them. Here's Robin Foss's phone number, 608-266-9171. Write it down. Call often and tell Robin, very politely, what you think. And then say thank you.
This is the kind of dripping sarcasm you can look forward to for the next 3 months as Jane Mattner.
To wipe the desk down after this segment.
All right, when we come back, we're going to do our headline quiz. Jane v. Greg.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Play along. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been the
this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
A little fog possible this morning, otherwise partly cloudy with a sprinkle or two possible at some point early to mid-afternoon. Our high today, 78. The wind, southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. Scattered thunderstorms late tonight. Our low, 61. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, becoming windy, 78 on Sunday. Scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
As goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinair. Greg Bach is on the board. I've just seen my husband, Michael Sampson, walk into the green room with a dripping bag of greasy Taco John's, which is his stop every time he's ever come to the WAUK studio.
Changed my life.
Because he's a big fan of potato olés.
Yes.
And raise your hand if you just hugged him gingerly. This guy.
He is wearing his back brace.
Yes.
Yep. Proudly.
I gave it a soft but meaningful hug.
So coming up at the top of the next hour, in the next segment at 11:06, he will join us on air, and we are going to play some baby shower games. We're going to take your advice, 844-967-2789. If you have kids, what was the best advice you ever got as new parents? And even if you don't have kids, sure.
Bring it on.
We'll take it. but for now, we are still going to... Oh, actually, did you say that we had another text?
We did have a text. We were talking about the Brewers Stadium and them asking for lots of money. And a texter from the 541, excuse me, says, Brewers Stadium, odd how the Republican-led legislature is okay with spending money on the stadium when Democrats would like to see more money from the owners. Wonder if they can open a daycare in the stadium during its downtime. I like you.
I like that idea.
I like you.
What kid wouldn't want to go to daycare at the Brewers Stadium?
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
I want to go to...
You'd have kids just to be able to send them there.
I want to go to an adult care. I want to go to an adult care. I'll buy a box when I get older. This is where I live now. I live in the... This is my box.
You know where to find me.
All right. Well, moving on to, at least for now, I don't know if you guys will continue to do this. I always love this because I like the... You know, the fun way of rounding out some of the news you might have missed in a quiz form.
And there is so much news now.
So much news. And it's, you know, not everything always is deserves its own segment for us to kick around.
Right.
But it's still sometimes somewhat interesting. So, Jane, since you are the guest, not the producer, I will let you choose if you go first for our headline quiz or not.
I will let Greg go first.
Greg.
So magnanimous.
All right. We are ready. This is number one. First questions. There are seven questions. Three are about Wisconsin. Three are more national, international news. We'll start with this one. The FTC began accepting refund applications this week for unwanted purchases made in which video game? Clash of Clans, Fortnite, Candy Crush Saga, Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley.
I'm going to go with Fortnite.
Indeed. The FTC is accepting refund applications for unwanted purchases in Fortnite because basically they had set up the game. I was reading about this for kids to just like not unknowingly be buying stuff inside the game. So now if parents, if you have kids who play Fortnite, that game is connected to your credit card.
Look out.
Look out and see. Make sure that there's not a bunch of unwanted purchases and you are now...
on the hook for...
Well, you can also go get a refund for
good.
It now.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
All right. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Greg's at one. Jane, on Monday, which state became the first to abolish cash bail? Illinois, California, New York, Oregon?
I'll say Oregon.
It was actually Illinois.
Oh.
Our neighbors to the south.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
We'll be watching. I'm sure that'll be interesting to see.
How that
plays out.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as we just bolstered our cash bail.
Yay.
Greg is 1-0.
Yeah.
Greg,
yep.
Yesterday,
mm-hmm.
The Milwaukee County Board approved a measure to declare Milwaukee County as a sanctuary for undocumented immigrants, transgender and non-binary people, fugitives, Bears fans.
Transgendered.
Ding, ding, ding. That is true.
Well
that
done.
Yesterday.
Two for two, Greg.
All right, Jane. This week, colleges and universities in Wisconsin just received their annual ranking by U.S. News and World Report that compare them against schools across the country. University of Wisconsin-Madison saw its highest overall U.S. News ranking in the past 15 years and is now ranked 25th. 35th, 66th, or 86th?
I'll go in the 35th.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right.
We are tied with the University of Illinois.
I'm on the board.
Nice, good
so
job.
It's been raising overall, but I think the interesting thing here is the U.S. News and World 2024 college rankings featured a massive jump for a lot of other, like a lot of schools, because they're changing their grading system.
Ah.
And so...
And you know who's fallen? Is it the University of Florida?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Marquette is 86. So as far as someone who's grew up with a Marquette, UW-Madison rivalry, take that. All right.
Ha-ha! Gotcha.
Back to Greg. Fill in the blank. AMC's CEO hinted that the theater chain could start selling its own beer, reclining chairs, licorice ropes, wine.
So AMC would be selling their own version of it?
That's yes.
Okay.
It's like Kirkland brand.
Yeah. Beer.
Wine.
Dang it!
Oh.
Wine? The CEO, AMC Theater?
Mm-hmm. The CEO of AMC Theaters tweeted about branded wine.
Okay.
I don't know how good it would be, but...
A fine Chardonnay.
Probably just as good as an AMC Theater. Boom!
Ding, ding! All right, so what is that? 3-1.
Oh, no, it's 2-1. I only got 2.
2-1.
2-1. So you have a chance to tie.
Okay.
Jane.
All right.
An early painting by which artist went up for auction in Minneapolis?
Bob Ross.
Indeed.
9.85 million.
9.8. If you not have not heard this story, a Bob Ross painting went up for auction at $9.85 million. Valuation. It's called A Walk in the Woods. It took him 27 minutes to paint.
Unreal.
In the first episode of The Joy of Painting in 1983.
Oh.
If you ever watched the first season, that first episode, he looks amazing.
He's
like big open shirt, medallion, sunglasses, like tinted sunglasses. He looks like he just got back from a disco.
And the Happy Clouds. Was it the Happy Clouds?
Oh, yeah.
Happy Clouds.
They were happy for a reason.
Happy Clouds.
Happy mistakes. All right, final question, and this is the question where whoever answers it first and correct is the winner. With the GOP proposal, how much money would taxpayers spend on American Family Field to keep the Brewers here until 2050?
$700 million.
$600
million. $600
million. I saw $700 million.
That's the total deal. That's that's including the $100
million from... This isn't fair!
from the Brewers themselves, it would be $600 million from taxpayers. Is that a tie?
No, I believe I won.
She won. Every time.
Coming from behind. That's okay. This is a fun game. We're all friends here.
I feel like Marquette right now. Oh!
All right. When we come back, Michael Sampson will be here. If you have advice for he and I as first-time parents, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Stick around for the top of the hour news and more As Goes Wisconsin right after this. We'll be right back.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend, Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a serial strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.